Let's grab our Bibles and you can turn to the book of Ephesians. I want to thank you for being faithful this summer. And we've had a really, really good summer. It's been great. We've had summer saturation has been phenomenal. Last week we had a lot of the staff. It happens after we're really busy. The church calendar is kind of busy up until youth conference, and after youth conference, really for the staff, a lot of them, that's one of the few times they can actually get away. And so, but even with many of the staff gone and people on vacation, we had a great crowd here on Tuesday night. And thank you. And we're not doing anything special. You know what we're doing? We're just going out, talking to people about the Lord, inviting people to church. Thank you for your faithfulness. We've had a great youth conference, I think, was tremendous. And God blessed in a great way. I've enjoyed personally this summer we've had all the different Sunday school classes over our house on Friday nights. And it's been very, very enjoyable. I'm actually going to kind of miss it. We had Joseph's class with us, the cross stitch. Just kidding. Cross point, okay? We cross point this week, and they're the last one until in August. I think we have the deaf ministry coming. But we've had a really good time, and if you didn't get to come, that's your fault. Door was open. Food was hot. Shame on you. Next time, okay? But we had a great time. Thank you for a great summer, just serving God, being faithful. And next week is August, and then before you know it, school's here, and then fall will come, and then it'll be summer again next year, and we're just a year older, and Brother Pineda will be driving his Ford Mustang. Make sure you get him a gift of AAA. Owning a Ford, he's going to need it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. We've been talking about the family. We're going to talk about something tonight, more of a mindset type of thing I want us to see about family, nothing earth-shattering. And then we'll finish up next week with something that that families need to be very careful of. It can be very, very hurtful. I won't tell you what it is, but it is what it is. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the body, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in so particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now continue on. It's still the same vein of thought in the beginning of chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you again for this opportunity we have to be here. We thank you for the institution of marriage and family which you founded. I pray, Lord, that we would just learn some things tonight, be encouraged in some things that would help us again to have the right mindset about our families and help us to have the kind of families you want us to have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. By the way, did we pass these the magnets out tonight? If not, ushers, if we could pan these out after the church if you didn't get one this morning. Of course, this summer we've been looking at the family, and we've looked at many, many things, and I'm not going to rehash all the things we've looked at, except to say there's really two ways to go about your marriage. There's two ways to go about your children, your child rearing. That is God's way. That's man's way. Man's way leads to problems. God's way leads to blessing and prosperity. God wants us to have great families. Our society views the institution of marriage as something that needs to be changed, and we looked at that, something that doesn't work anymore. It's hard to find any good news about marriage. It's hard to find any good news about family. And that's because we've bought in. Many Christians have bought into the worldly mindset, I guess, the earthly mindset about child-rearing, family, and so forth and so on. And whenever we buy into what they're telling us, we are setting ourselves up for failure. What is portrayed in the media, whether it's on a radio show, whether it's on some movie or some primetime television show, which is probably why you shouldn't watch those, they portray the family in a way that's not biblical. Dad is some kind of incompetent, bumbling, self-centered, irresponsible guy in the family. Happy-go-lucky, living for himself, incompetent. Mom, she's the mover and she's the shaker and she's getting things done, but she's too busy. And the children run the place. And God forbid a parent would ever get up and try to lay down the law on their family. That's preaching at the children. And after all, that doesn't work. Now, before we go on, just let me ask you something. Look around you. Seems to me like things are getting worse, not better. If our psychologist and our worldly philosophy and all the garbage you hear on television, all the nonsense, is the new way to go, how come things are worse and worse and worse? They don't tell you that. Drive by the average public school, I'm not saying you should have done this, but I was in school, I didn't go very often, I busted out all the time. It was easy. You go by the average public school today and it's like, man, that'd be hard to get out. Looks like a prison. The kind of things that go on there, everything's accepted and everything happens in a school except a prayer meeting, a Bible study, or God's word. God forbid we have that. We're messed up. Many years ago, we were driving on vacation. Back in the early, many years ago, we were driving and that was before satellite radio. Our car has satellite radio. We can listen to some things and so forth and plug stuff in off your phone. We didn't have those options back then. So I would drive, and so you get bored in the middle of the night, the kid, you know, so you put something on the radio, and as you drive, it's hard to get the stations, but I'd find a station, and there was some talk show on, and they were taking questions, and I got interested in it. And a man called, and I don't remember what the show was. I must have really been bored stiff. And this guy goes, listen, you know, my daughter has all kinds of posters on her wall that I don't like. But you know how it is. You can't tell children what to do. She goes, but I found a solution. We went to a baseball game. I do remember this. It was the Giants. Because I figured that was his problem right there, Eugene. He's a Giants fan. And he's like, I went there and we were leaving the stadium and she saw a picture of a Giants player. And she goes, Dad, can I have a poster? And he goes, I found out how to get all those things off her wall. I said, for every Giants poster you buy, I'll buy them for you if you'll replace the ones on your wall. And I was thinking, put Giants players' posters is just as bad. And he thought that was a good solution. And I'm in the car thinking, I got a better solution. You walk into the room and say, take those down. Oh, but I don't know how. That's fine, I'll do it for you. But it was almost like he and the host were talking like, you can't say that because after all, that's wrong. I'm like, no, it isn't. Then the next call was even better. Mom, she called. She said, yeah, I had a situation with my daughter. She was going out with her friends and she came out and she was dressed, and she didn't use the word immodest, but she used something to describe immodesty. And she said, I don't want my daughter going. I told her she's not going out like that. And we had an argument. She goes, but I found out how to get the solution to peace. She goes, I gave myself a timeout. I let my daughter do what she want. I'm thinking, is that where we're really going? See, the world has a way of telling us how to run the family that's not right. We're afraid to say something to the children. We're afraid to take God at his word and just do what he says. Because that doesn't work. The verses we read in Ephesians, they have some heavy-duty responsibilities that come with marriage and family and child-rearing. They're not necessarily always the exciting things in life, but they're the things that we're supposed to do if we're going to have the kind of family and marriage that God wants us to have. He talks, first of all, about a mutual submission or respect that there's supposed to be in the family. He talks about the huge responsibility the husbands have to lead the family the right way and for wives to get behind their husbands and back him and help keep the family going the right direction. He talks about the example of Christ in the church and the husband and wife are to follow. And if that didn't get you, that's very heavy duty. The husband is to lead as Christ would. The wife is to follow as the church should. It's pretty heavy. There's supposed to be a love that's shown that can only come from God. Love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's not some small thing. We mentioned, as we saw in our first lesson many weeks ago, the two big responsibilities that come in marriage. He talks about husbands, love your wife, and wives, see that she reverence her husband. There's a responsibility of the children to obey their parents and do what they tell you to do and follow their leading, accept their spiritual leadership. And then as they get older, there's an honor they're supposed to still give to their parents as children to their parents, and it's one of the Ten Commandments. It's a big one. And then the fathers are supposed to be careful that we don't react in such a way that's not right, out of anger or out of irritation for ourselves, that causes our children stress or anger. There's a lot of things involved. The point is, I'm going somewhere with this, and we'll get there. There are a lot of blessings and privilege in family and in that relationship. But there's also a lot of responsibility and duty. We don't like that word duty. Think of duty like doing something you're supposed to do that's unpleasant. Well, there's a lot of times we have to do things that we don't necessarily want to do, but it's the right thing to do, and it's the helpful thing to do. You see, we've let society and how society kind of tries to mold everybody into their little mold. And it's getting to the point now, if you say anything publicly that goes with the philosophy of the world, you're ostracized. But if it's following God, it's the right thing to do. But society seeks to mold people into the way that they want them to think, and everybody's got to think the same, and everybody's got to believe. By the way, that's tolerance doesn't mean everybody's got to believe the same thing. Tolerance means everybody has a right to believe as they wish, even if they're wrong. It's not, tolerance isn't, I believe this and you don't believe by me. You have to accept what I believe as equally valid as what I believe. That's not tolerance. It's communism, socialism. It's warped. But it seeps into our Christian homes, seeps into our families. We allow the culture to dictate how we live. We allow the culture to influence our thinking. And when our thinking is influenced, it's going to come out in our actions, and it's going to hurt our families. When that happens, expectations are sometimes not very realistic. And when our expectations are unrealistic, we'll never be fulfilled or satisfied in anything that we do. No person or activity can ever live up to unrealistic expectations. You know, if you courted or dated right before you got married, you had these, you know, she's wonderful. She is the greatest thing on this earth. She probably wakes up in the whole morning and she looks like $1 million. She never gets upset. I'm pretty sure I saw her walk on water. Then you get married. And she is wonderful. But then you start to see that she is not perfect. There's only one perfect person in this world, and that's my wife. So I didn't have to sleep on the couch tonight. You know, you look at him like, wow, he's the guy. And you build this thing up in your mind about how wonderful he's going to be once you're married and you're living together, and it's like you find out that he's not all of that. He's not perfect. You see, It's not that she's not a good person. It's not that he's not a good guy. It's just that you're expecting them. You're holding them up to an expectation that's unrealistic. I'm getting ahead of myself. And that goes into how we live our lives together too. Many, many years ago at the old building, pastor had a message called From Honeymoon to Honeymoon. How everybody has to live for the next exciting thing. By the way, marriage is not always the honeymoon. The honeymoon is over when you get back. I don't mean that in a negative way. But we're looking for this next exciting thing to jump to. And our life is nothing more than going from this to this to this to this. That's not life. That's not realistic. And if we're not jumping from this to this to this to this, we're not happy. We're not satisfied. We need to be careful. Everything's got to be exciting. And everything in between is just tolerated until I get to the next exciting thing in my life. The fairy tale begins once upon a time. And it ends, and they lived happily ever after. My question is, what happens in between? Okay, you pick it. Who's your favorite princess? I know you like them all. Just kidding. Snow White, right? She hung out for a while with the Seven Dwarfs, but then she found out they were Raider fans, so she moved on. And then she married Prince Charming. And man, they had a wedding. They had a time. They went on vacation. They came home, and they lived happily ever after. But I'm telling you, there was stuff in between. Everything wasn't always get on the white horse and let's go for a ride. Listen, Cinderella had to cook dinner. Okay, someone had to mow the lawn. Someone had to change the dirty diapers. But we're always looking for the big moments. Very unrealistic. You know what we are? We're the Instagram generation. What's Instagram? It's a social media app that allows you to post pictures of what's going on in your life, and people can comment on them. And I'm not against Instagram. I have an account. I hardly ever post. When I do, it's usually the grandkids or something. So I guess I'm just as guilty. But that type of thinking has invaded our life. You know, people are always going. What are they? They post the latest activity they were on, the latest adventure they took, the latest happy moment, the latest happy parenting moment. A while back, I don't know if I posted it, but Jason, my grandson, he's the one in the nursery that he glows in the dark. He's so white. But he got into my wife's purse. He was on the ground. He got into the purse. And for one of the few times, my wife had money. And he pulled all the money out. And he's laying on the ground with 20s laying all over him. And he's got one in his hand. So I think I posted a picture of him saying, Jason's ready for offering Sunday. Are you? You know, because he had his money. And that's the kind of stuff we post. The latest date night, my husband took me here. The latest new discovery that you've made. The new restaurant you found. Or the latest funny thing that happened to you. But let me just say this, especially you younger ones. You think life is just, that's all life is. Big moment, big moment, big. I'm just living the life, man. Those are few and far between. It's not life. Instagram is not life. Instagram is not marriage. Instagram is not family. So let me tell you some problems. We have an Instagram mentality when it comes to our families. Here are some of the Instagram negatives that get into our life. And it's going to ruin your marriage. It's going to ruin your family. It's going to ruin your life. Instagram number one, or this type of mentality. It's not necessarily Instagram because that's the only thing I have. I don't do any of the other stuff. But here's what it all is. Number one, it highlights the positives. That's all it does. Look at the pictures people post, whether it's here, there, or anywhere. We had great food together. I came home and my baby made some steak. You know. My husband took me out. I actually got dressed up. And you go to picture some really fancy restaurant. My wife looked like $1 million today. She's hotter than the dark side of the moon. By the way, the dark side of the moon is extremely cold, okay? You know, she was, oh, wow. I don't know. She was like bacon. She was sizzling. My child did the funniest thing. Did you see this? Thank you for laughing, Brother Ross. He didn't get much sleep last night. Here's one. I had a great cup of coffee this morning. By the way, I'm kind of in on that one. Yeah, sometimes spiritual things. Man, I got this great. I got this out of my Bible this morning. It was awesome. Life isn't always just about the positives. Do you know there's negatives too? No one posts on Instagram, sometimes that meal was not very good. I'm not going to embarrass anybody in my family, but one time before she got married, Allison was making dinner. And by the way, Allison can cook, usually. So she got this recipe for this pasta, and she's like, I'm going to follow the recipe. It's going to be good. And so I looked at it, and we had dinner, and it was something that was called orange chicken pasta. Now, first of all, I had an issue right off the bat because I don't like orange chicken. I've never met one. But I tried to eat it. I'm like, this is really bad. But I thought, you know, I think the first two to start eating, it was on Thursday, I think, so not everybody was. The first two to start eating were Emily and I. And so I'm like, maybe it's just because I don't like orange chicken, so I didn't say anything. And then Allison walked by, and Emily looked at her and said, this is awful. Now, here's how bad it was. Allison didn't like it either. It had nothing to do with the way she cooked it. It's just that I think she mixed up two pages together. It didn't work. So if you ever get a recipe for orange chicken pasta, get rid of the orange chicken, put some of the red sauce on there, and it's better that way. But, you know, we didn't post a picture. This was horrible tonight. You know. Sometimes the Bible doesn't jump out. I read my Bible today and I got nothing out of it. My husband came home on our date night and he did nothing. Right? We went out for a date tonight. It was Dwiener Schnitzel. Your favorite. By the way, I'm with you, brother. I know it's not good for me and I haven't had it in months, but man, I love the Wiener Schnitzel. I don't know why. I know the food's not any better than McDonald's, but there's something about that watery chili that just gets me. Pray for me. The only reason you're laughing is because you like it too. We never get home and said, man, my wife didn't look like $1 million today. In fact, she looked like she was in debt. Sorry. My child had diarrhea today, and it was everywhere. Can I just tell you something? There's a lot more the second list of moments than there are the first list of moments. But if you are only interested in your wife when she looks like $1 million, you're going to be sadly mistaken. Life isn't like that. When she's mopping the floor, she's not going to have high heels and a nice dress on. The meals aren't always going to be fantastic. The children aren't always going to do cute little funny things. Sometimes they're going to do things that are disgusting. And if all you do is find joy in the positives, you are going to be sadly mistaken. And not only that, you're missing out on a lot of good stuff. That's not what life is about. Life is about accepting the negatives with the positives. You see, when a negative in your life shows up, you want everybody to cut you some slack, but you don't want to cut slack. Everything's not always positive, but you know what? Those negatives associated with family are minute compared to the positives. It's what we choose to focus on. That's why we have such an irresponsible generation. They want to live their whole life going from party to party to party. Hey, get up and go to work. Go home and be responsible. Friday night, do something with your family. Saturday, spend a little time. But quit spending 7 days a week looking to live the party life. Life isn't like that. Husbands, after work, go home. You have a family and a responsibility. You don't hang around with your friends. That was free. Number two, it expects the exciting. Everything's got to be over the top. The illustration I give is vacation. We're going on vacation soon. All of the older kids have Instagram. So we all take pictures and stuff when we're going on vacation. We share them with each other, and they'll share them on Instagram. You know, they'll put some hashtag, Myers Vacation, whatever year it is. And I enjoy those pictures because there's memories there. There's good memories. And we'll drive up to, we'll be with Brother Bouchard on a Wednesday night. And we're going to drive up the Oregon coast. By the way, Oregon coast is beautiful. We drive up the Oregon coast, and we were just driving. We did this before in the past, and it's and you get to a certain part, you're on a little cliff, and you can't really, there's trees, you can't really see the coast. But there'll be a little thing there, it looks like someone stopped. So one time, let's just stop and let's crawl through there and see. And man, we crawled through there, and it was one of the most beautiful sights all up and down that coast. And we did the photo op. You know, come here, hon. Ocean in the background. And we had a great time. And if you look at all those posters, and then there was one, there was this beautiful, there was this old lighthouse, and the kids wanted to do the half-mile track, and I'm like, you guys go, meet us at the hotel, have a good time. And so, you know, and we post all those pictures, say, wow, what an exciting vacation. Can I just tell you something? Between that beautiful little cove and the lighthouse was a two-hour drive in a car with a bunch of kids, and the grandkids are in the back, and they're screaming, and I'm losing my salvation. That's life. You're driving down the coast. Now, I love fresh air. And even in the summer, you roll down the window on the coast, and man, it is great. But even with the windows open, it's like, what did Charlie do? She did something reprehensible in that diaper. But we have all these moments. The moments are great. They're exciting. There's a whole lot of driving in between those moments. And don't even get me started about the trip home, because a trip home is a 22-hour drive straight through. And about the 15th hour, I am not even a Christian, Brother Ross. I don't want to go to church anymore. I'm wishing I'd never got married. You don't sleep overnight. I mean, you're just like, if somebody says one more thing, they're getting thrown out. Okay. What you could do, I think I've done it. I've not done it with my family. I did it one time with teenagers. When you're driving up the 5 where all the cows are, we had a 15-passenger van. I had all the girls. And I thought, I wonder how this would work. And it was summer. It was hot. We were going to youth conference. And so when we got to the cows, I rolled down the windows. And I waited till that, I turned AC off. I waited till that smell got in there. And then I rolled the windows up. They were gagging. It was pretty bad, actually. It was, I had to open the windows back up and turn AC on. I'm like, man, I'm killing myself here. But that's when I was a youth director and I didn't have any common sense. That's Brother Ross now. The point is, everything cannot be exciting in life. And by the way, that doesn't mean it's not good. We miss so much because we're looking at, you know, when I drive, I do try to stay saved. The trip home, I'm not, but the trip up there, I'm pretty good. But you know, there's a lot of good things to see and talk to the family and blah blah. I'm not being. But you know what? Sometimes that trip just driving together is better than all the highlights. But we miss that out because we're looking for it. Bible talks about this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. See, we start buying into everything's got to be exciting. We love that more than we love anything else. You see, we have the three-day weekend mentality. I mean, every time there's a holiday attached to the weekend, we're out of town. We got to go. And there's nothing wrong with you getting away every now and then. But if your whole life is, I can't wait for the three-day weekend. That's what I'm living for. Your life is getting there. Look, there's not that many three-day weekends. I got to wait for the next vacation. And by the way, I like a vacation. I'll have a good time. I enjoy going with the family. We've all been on vacation together every year, but this will be the first year we're all driving together the whole time. That'll be exciting, 15 people trying to stay sane. But I enjoy being with the family, and I'll enjoy it. But listen, I don't just say when vacation's over, all right, I got to hang in there to the next vacation. We get that mindset. You know, what is it? I'm waiting for the weekend. What is it? TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. You know, we ought to thank God it's Sunday. Okay, if you want to thank God for any part of the weekend, thank Him for Sunday. TGIF, that's a restaurant. We live for all those things. What happens is if all of our life is about the exciting, we spend most of our life in disappointment. Next. We're losing time here. It ignores the normal. See, here's the whole point. the best parts of life, and I'm not, sometimes you almost hear people, it's almost like, I don't want to be with your family. I like being with my family. This summer we all got a bunch of bikes, and so we do bike rides together, most of them. And so we'll go out certain nights, and we'll all get out. Maybe it's just a couple of us, and we'll just get the bikes. Let's go for a ride together. Just being together. That's exciting. But you know what? The normal is the vast majority of life. And because we're living for the exciting things, the normal, we don't enjoy it. No one posted on Instagram, I got up this morning. You know, I did laundry. I ironed. No, everything's got to be that. Did normal. You got to find enjoyment. Getting to go to work. Say, I don't enjoy my job. Try to get one you can enjoy. Getting to be home with the family. What are you guys doing tonight? I'm just home with my family. Is it date night? No. Is it family night? No. We're just home together. We're not, what's on the agenda? Not much, we're just together. You can't enjoy that? Well, we got to do something. We are. We're home together. Isn't that what family is? Isn't that life? And not everybody, we're all home together. You know, and we all, and it happens sometimes, we're all sitting in the living room and they have their phones out. I'm like, hey, let me go get mine, and I'll come and text with you, okay? But we don't do that all the time. Just being together, being around the house. Why don't you be thankful you have a spouse that comes home that actually wants to be around you when you're not taking them out for steak? By the way, the problem is for you adults, and this is off the cuff, but we'll live, you're still teenagers. When I was a teenager, it was like every Friday was like, hey, dude, where's the party, man? Where's the next exciting event? And we grow up and we live our lives like that. We don't want to work because that's not fun. You know what's fun? Paying the bills and doing what you're supposed to do. Maybe if you had a little responsibility. Let's go back to that illustration of marriage and vacation. If we're going from here to the East Coast, and the only exciting part is when you leave and the couple of tourist stops and the couple of, you know, hotels and restaurants, and the destination is the East Coast, that's like 3,600 miles in between. What's going on there? You know, the exciting part of life is just, we went to the store together. What? Yeah. We were getting ready for Friday night, you know, and they were cleaning all that stuff. My wife said, I got to run to Costco. I'll go with you. Why do you go to Costco? Anybody remember? Samples. I mean, come on, man. It's like, you go shop. I'm just going to go, you know. I wasn't into the marble jelly. That was pretty gross. But no, you know what? It was not earth-shattering. It's just, here's an opportunity for me to be with my wife for a few minutes. We look back at our 30 years of marriage. Really, the most blessed part is not the times we went away, although those are fun. It's being together for 30 years. Having children. Well, she had the children, you know, being home together. What about the children? Just being around the house with them. You say, that sounds boring. Actually, that's life. And it's what you make it. My sister-in-law, she posted a picture on Instagram a while ago, and it was her and her husband. And I think her comment was, we were supposed to go out for the day. We got a babysitter. We were going to go out for the day. He was taking her somewhere. And she said it started to rain, so she put a picture of them at the grocery store, said, here's our date day. And I was just thinking, I don't know if I posted. I was like, that proves, that'll do a lot more for your marriage than a date day. Just being together. The normal things of life. Enjoy being with each other. Enjoy being with your family. Doesn't have to always be this over-the-top nonsense. One more illustration. I was a teenager. I worked at a furniture store. I sold furniture, and I don't know why they left me there alone. They didn't know me very well. But I'm working there, and so I was waiting between customers, and I was watching a baseball game. And I was a kid. I don't know why I remember this, but there was a baseball player for the Pirates at the time. His name was Bill Robinson, and I think he was a third baseman. And he was a pretty decent baseball player. That year, he was having a great year. And I don't know why, but before the game, the announcer asked him this question. I'll never forget. He goes, people are saying that you are a superstar because I think this is the best year he was having. They said, how do you feel about that when people start calling you a superstar? Does that make you happy? Are you proud about that? And he said this. He goes, I'm no superstar. He goes, a superstar is my father who went to work every day and came home so he could give us a place to eat, clothes on our back, and take care of our needs. That's not very exciting, but can I just tell you something? That's life. We got to start enjoying the everyday moments of our life. A couple more and we'll be done. And this is what will really hurt you. Instagram and that type of mentality, it focuses on self. You know, the selfie generation. There's a reason they put another camera on the phone on the front. Okay? I was at the store. We were doing something. I was looking for something. So I'm like, let me take a picture of this so I can see if I can find it somewhere else. And I went like that and I clicked it and it was wrong. It took a picture of me. But it was a good one too. But then again, I never take bad pictures. But anyhow, but they put that on there so you can take a selfie. You say, well, I'm not selfish. Do this. Go to your Instagram account or whatever you do and look at all the pictures you post and see how many of them are you. Now, if you want to post a picture of pizza and give me the address where that pizza place was, I'm all in. Okay? But I don't want to see a picture of you. I see too much of you. And you don't want to see a picture of me, although that would be very pleasant. We're a selfish generation. Everything's about us. By the way, that's why all these other things are a problem, because it's all about me. Hey, can I just tell you something? When you get married and you start having children, it is not about you. If you're not married yet, and you want to get married to somebody, and you're not getting married to say, how can I be a blessing to her? You're not ready to get married. I don't care if you're 50. If you're not willing to sacrifice for your family and for your children, don't have children. I was listening to, don't listen to her. One time I was taking a trip somewhere, and Laura Schlesinger was on. Now, I don't know who she is. I don't know much about her, and I was bored stiff. But I like what she said. Some lady called and said, you know, there's this guy I'm dating and we want to get married. And she was like telling all these negative things. He was very selfish. And she says, don't marry him. He's going to be a horrible husband. And she's like, but I just feel like I have to. She goes, listen, if you're not going to listen to me and get married, do me a favor. Don't have children. That way, when this thing goes south, at least you're not ruining the kids' lives. Whoa. Glad I didn't marry her. But can I say something? Selfishness. We're selfish. How do you know? Because I'm selfish. I've got to fight it. Relationships aren't about you. Life isn't about you. It's about what can I give to that other person. Now, let me say this so that I don't sound too negative. Whenever you pour yourself into that relationship, whenever you pour yourself into that family, the byproduct is you will be fulfilled. See, fulfillment doesn't come by reaching for it. It's a byproduct of helping others. And we get that wrong. There's this college girl that she was being criticized on the internet heavily. She was a college-age young lady, and she took a tour to some of the death camps. And she went to Auschwitz. Auschwitz was the I think it was the number one death camp where the Jews were exterminated by Hitler. And you hear testimonies of people that have been there. It's very, very, it's very moving. And it's very, what's the word I'm looking for? Not harsh, but it's sobering. When you go there and see what they did to people and the pictures of the dead bodies just because some wacko was in charge. And here's this girl at this death camp, something that should have moved her, and all she saw was a selfie opportunity. She gets by one of the buildings, a big old smile on her face. And she was roundly criticized in news circles. But by the way, we do that all the time. We have a generation that can't see the importance of anything. Everything is translated through the filter of How is it going to affect me? Does this make me happy? That's a relationship killer. Focuses on self. Let's stop there this night. Let's all stand together.